Well, Australia is in crisis when it comes to energy. We now know that. It's getting difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're heading into yet another winter where a lot of people are wondering, will I be able to keep myself warm? Can I afford to run the heater? And as far as I can see, we're no closer to getting ourselves out of this mess. We're waiting to see what comes from the government's National Energy Guarantee. But in the meantime, we've got companies like AGL that couldn't give a rat's about your power bill, closing down coal power stations, intent on pouring all their resources into unreliable renewable energy. And the fight we're currently facing, it all stems from this scare tactic ideology of man-made global warming. Human contribution to the planet warming is minuscule, and carbon dioxide is not driving modern climate change. It's a natural occurrence. We have major climatic cycles on Earth. That's how it's been for as long as we've been alive. We warm for long periods of time and then we cool. And I want to dig a little bit deeper into all of this again today. Ian Plimer, who you've heard on the program before, is an Emeritus Professor of Earth Sciences at the University of Melbourne, a Professor of Mining Geology at the University of Adelaide, an author of many scientific papers, and throw in there 6 books. This bloke knows what he's talking about, and he's delivering presentations at the moment where he's asking an unanswerable question. Can you show me that the human emissions of carbon dioxide drive global warming? And the answer, of course, is no. And he's out to prove that. Professor Plimer joins me in the studio right now. Thank you very much. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me yet again.
You refer to climate science as voodoo science. What is it that drives this voodoo science, Ian?
Money. Absolutely crude collection of research grants. I've worked in the university system long enough to know that you live or you die unless you get research grant money. If you can frighten people witless, if you can get politicians to have a cause, you will get funded. Now, the best causes to have are those that you can't see. Radiation, mobile phone radiation, climate change, which you can't see, and if you can, it's hundreds of years in the future. These are the things that are wonderful. Politicians like to solve problems.
And we in the 80s, we had this rebirth of love for the environment, which then led to this global warming scare campaign, which then hooked, line and sinkered all of the politicians.
It did, because they felt that a green vote was the difference between them having a job or not having a job. Mm-hmm. And I cannot understand why the Conservative parties in Australia want to chase a green vote, because the Greens will never vote for them anyway.
Yeah.
What they should be making sure is that we have employment. The Labor Party's given up with its workers. It doesn't care whether people lose jobs because of expensive electricity based on a fallacy. It is now left to only one party, and that's the Liberal National Party coalition, to make sure that people have got jobs in areas where there's a lot of electricity used, like in foundries or in aluminium smelters. And this Conservative government has dropped the ball. They are following the Greens.
Let's put it all in context. What percentage of annual global human-induced CO2 emissions do we produce? And of that, what's Australia's contribution?
The annual emissions globally are 3%, and Australia produces 1.3% of that 3%. So we produce 5 parts and 9/5 of bugger all. And then you can do the sums. We emit this carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, but in Australia, we actually use this gas in grasslands and in trees, and we suck it up. We suck up far more than we emit. And then when you look at the continental shelf, how much we suck up into seawater, into coral, into shells, we suck up bucket loads of carbon dioxide compared with what we emit. So we should be having Paris pay us to be wonderful citizens rather than us paying a fortune to go through sticky fingers to end up somewhere in Brussels.
And here we have this monumental spending of money, time, not to mention subsidies, to try and somehow alter the Earth's temperature from Australia.
You've got to be joking. Look, I would like politicians to be able to change a volcanic eruption, and then I'll believe that they can change the global climate. Because the amount of energy that you need to change the global climate is huge. And climate has changed naturally. It's only changed naturally for 4,567 million years. We've had six major ice ages, and every time we've had one of those six major ice ages, we've had more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than now. So how come carbon dioxide drives runaway global warming? We have been fed a Mickey, and this is going to cost us dearly.
It's costing us already.
Oh, yes, and we've seen it before in the past with the Dutch tulip mania of the late 1600s, the South Sea bubble of 1720, where whole communities went mad and it cost them economically. Now it's costing us. Last week I stayed with a friend in Victoria. He's not poor, and he's had to shut off half of his house because he can't heat it. He can't afford to heat it. Mm. Now, here's a person who is middle-class income and can't afford to heat his house. Mm. If we have a cold winter, we are going to have chaos in this country, because where I live in South Australia, we rely on the wind, and we put excess wind electricity into batteries, these wonderful batteries named after a chap who sounds like a deodorant. These batteries are going to keep us going in South Australia for 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it. We've got all these diesel generators. No one says about the carbon dioxide they put into the atmosphere. And on really bad times, we call on power that comes from Queensland, through New South Wales, through Victoria, into South Australia. That is madness, yeah, because Australia has tens of thousands of years of energy. We export huge amounts of energy in yellow cake from South Australia. We are one of the G20 countries, the only one that doesn't have nuclear power. Mm. We have huge amounts of coal in Victoria, in New South Wales, in Queensland. Now, it's okay for us to export this coal to Asian countries to pull them from low class into middle class through having cheap energy and coal-fired power stations. But apparently it's not okay for us to use the same coal to keep our older people, our pensioners, warm, to keep our people in work.
Classic hypocrisy. I've just come back from London on a broadcasting trip, and when I was there, I spoke to those in the nuclear energy sphere. Now, the UK not only has its own reactors to provide a large percentage of power to people in Britain, but they're now going to put in what they're calling modular nuke stations. So basically, you're going to have them look after areas, separate areas, right around the country. They'll proliferate and they will supply that country with cheap, clean energy, the likes of which isn't even on the agenda here.
Well, I've argued that very strong in my last book, which came out October last year, called here's a promo, Climate Delusion and the Great Electricity Ripoff. And I argued that you can go to Hitachi or General Electric and buy these things off the shelf. So you don't have to go through all the design and planning. In Australia, we've got many isolated towns. We've got many isolated mines. Mm. You can put a 50 megawatt generator onto a B-double, drive it to a mine, and when the mine finishes, pick it up and take it somewhere else.
Exactly.
And this is so simple.
It would suit Australia because of its remote landscape that it would suit any other country in the world. Anyway, well, I've got to take a break. We'll come back with Professor Ian Plimer and talk more about CO2 and the great scaremongering over global warming. I'm with Professor Ian Plimer. Now, the Antarctic Climate and Ecosystems Cooperative Research Centre has recently drilled a 300-metre long ice core from beneath Mount Brown South in East Antarctica. No doubt they're looking at changes in the ecosystem and the climate over many centuries. What are they likely to find, do you think?
Well, I find what other Antarctic holes and Greenland holes have shown us, and that is climate always changes. We are in an ice age. It started 34 million years ago. When it's super cold in this ice age, we have a glaciation. And when it's a little bit warmer, we have an interglacial. And we're currently in one of those. And they will find fluctuating climates related to changes in the Earth's orbit. Now, no Paris Accord or legislation will change the way the Earth wobbles around the sun. So they will find and confirm and validate what we already know, which is what science is about. You have to validate what others have found. And the global warming story is not validated by my science, which is geology. Definitely not validated. And so, therefore, it's not science, it's something else. It's probably religion. They will also find that there will be the odd volcanic eruption that influences climate by putting a lot of dust into the air. What they will also find is something we've known for a long while in geology, but the climate catastrophists are only just starting to understand it. And that is, underneath the Antarctic ice sheet, we have 150 active volcanoes. We have a lot of hot ground. Maybe, just maybe, the melting of the Antarctic ice sheet might have another factor to it, and that might be hot rocks underneath it. Now, we have that very well shown in many parts of the world. We've seen it many times in the geological past, that we can actually melt rocks by volcanoes. And in most people's lives listening to this program, they would remember Mount St. Helens. And that was a pathetically small eruption, but it melted ice. And that ice caused catastrophic boiling mud flows. We have seen the same in Antarctica. So the drill holes will tell us, will validate what we've known from other work, and this is what you do in science, you validate and validate and validate, and it will show that climate changes, that the changes that we see today are nothing extraordinary.
The global warming models that we were told about 20 years ago haven't quite come true, have they, Ian?
No, we have over 115 models, and every one of them has some one thing in common. They're wrong. And these models have been constructed on the basis that carbon dioxide is a driving force. There is one model out there that doesn't use carbon dioxide. It uses solar phenomena, and that model is the only one that works. And over 20 years, we've been able to look at these models, and they are telling us 20 years ago that we're going to have catastrophic warming, we're going to fry and die. We haven't. So if you've got a difference between a model and a measurement, give me the measurement any day, because the models are incomplete. They're based on a whole lot of factors we don't understand, and the whole global warming scare comes out of a computer. It doesn't come out of people measuring things.
What do we say to a politician who has fallen for this hook, line and sinker and continually wants to prop up the renewable energy sector with very expensive billions of dollars worth of subsidies? What do we say to a politician like that, do you think, in 20 years' time, when all of this falls on its face?
I would say, do you want to keep your job? Because a good politician is a frightened politician. We are now paying extraordinary prices for energy in a country that has got more energy than any other country in the world. We once had very cheap, reliable energy. And the cheaper the energy, the more jobs you have. We once had that until we put these so-called renewables, which is a ridiculous word anyway because it's totally unrelated to science, until we put these renewables into the grid, it totally stuffed the grid. And to keep the renewables alive, we've had to subsidise them. I don't have a problem with solar and wind power. Many outback stations have little wind generators. Yep. Many phone boxes and signal boxes out in the bush have solar power. But to run an industrial economy based on sea breezes and sunbeams is absolutely ridiculous. We cannot predict that on Tuesday week we are going to produce this amount of energy, but we can with coal or nuclear or hydro or gas.
If we are at the moment warming slightly, and there's some evidence to say that we are, we should have a greener planet. Isn't that a better outcome than having a planet that isn't as green?
We have seen the planet green up over the last 20 years with just a very slight increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And that doesn't surprise me, because horticulturists pump warm carbon dioxide into their glasshouses to get better crop yield. We already know that. We've seen it naturally on this planet, where we've had a greening of the planet due to an additional amount of carbon dioxide. Now, whether that carbon dioxide is due to degassing of the oceans or whether it's due to human matters is something else. There is a very strong school of thought amongst the solar physicists now that a lazy sun is giving us cooler times. And we've had a few very bitter winters in Europe. We may well have one in Australia, but the sun is in a lazy period of time. We've got very good records over a long period of time to show that every time the sun is lazy, we get colder periods of time. And
but now the global warmists are saying cold periods are because of global warming too.
Yes, and ingrown toenails are also. I mean, whatever it is, it's due to global warming. And this shows how desperate these people are, because you've got to keep the gravy train going. We have huge numbers of bureaucrats in Canberra and the other capital cities whose whole life depends upon frightening us witless and stealing our money with high electricity prices. We've got whole institutes set up at universities dealing with computer models about what might happen when they're dead. I prefer to think about what's going to happen today. And today we are living on a normal planet in normal times with temperature rising and temperature falling. And we do know from geology and we do know from archaeology and we do know from history that every time it gets cold, that's when we have extinctions.
Yep.
That's when humans suffer.
Yep.
That's when Jack Frost kills
Thank
people.
Thank goodness that's not happening. One last thing. Donald Trump, in all of this, pulling out of the Paris Agreement, why was he the only one with a sense of common sense and brains?
Well, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And I said to my wife just before he was elected, and I got 9-1 odds on him being elected, I'm a very happy boy, if he's not careful, he will turn out to be a great American president. And I think he is using a quality that so few politicians have, and that is common sense. By the US being in Paris, he's making sure that the coal miners of Pennsylvania are out of work. He's making sure that industry moves from the US to Mexico or to China. He is actually looking after his people. I wish our politicians of all colours in this country would say our high energy prices, based on subsidies, are putting people out of the work. Where is the Labor Party when people are being put out of work?
Mm.
They are concerned with gender identity and all sorts of things which do not put bread on your table.
Yeah, and climate science, religion. Fantastic to have you here again. It's always a pleasure. You have an open invitation to come back again. All the very best.
Thank you.
All right. Ian Plimer, Emeritus Professor of Earth Sciences at the University of Melbourne, a Professor of Mining Geology at the University of Adelaide, author of many scientific papers and 6 books. Listen and read what he has to say.